dogs barking. Oh, man. Have you had a dog? Yeah. Have you had an important lesson learned from your dog? We're going to be talking to the author of a new book about how pets can teach us to live our best lives and face challenges with grace. I'm Larry Mueller. Of course, my guest, Dave Barry, author of many best-selling books, and he won the 1988 Pulitzer Prize for commentary. His latest book is called Lessons from Lucy, The Simple Joys of an Old Happy Dog. Well, do you have a pet in your home? How has your pet changed the way you live your life? And maybe what's owning a pet meant to you and your family? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Dave Barry with us by phone. Dave, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks for having me on, Larry. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, the first time I interviewed you, I had to get the dog barking in because the first time I interviewed you, you had your main dog, Ernest, and your backup dog, Zippy, and you tried to get them to bark at me in the telephone, but they
were. Boy, you're talking about, that would be at least 25 years ago, maybe more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure they didn't do it. I'm sure they did not bark as required.
No, they did not bark as required. So I thought, you know what? It's time to get some dog barks in here when I talk with Dave Barry. So here you got Lessons from Lucy, The Simple Joys of an Old Happy Dog. And you've always been a dog lover, haven't you?
Yeah, I grew up with dogs. I've had dogs most of my life. I'm a big fan of dogs, as are most people who have dogs.
Yeah, well, what is it about, you know, I almost hate to tell you this, but I have two cats.
Well, you know, everybody's entitled to his or her own preference, and you can be wrong if you want, Larry. No, cat. I know there are a lot of people who really like cats, so I shouldn't be critical. I've never been a cat guy, and the analogy, not analogy, but okay, here's a scenario. Picture this. You know what a dog park is, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a dog park?
Yes, I have many times.
Okay, so you go to a dog park, and what you see is dogs running around playing with each other and usually having a wonderful time. Dogs love that. And then you have the dog owners because their dogs are playing with each other. So naturally, the dog owners start talking to each other, like, what kind of dog is it? How old is your dog? That kind of thing. Does your dog do this? And that's the dog part. It's dogs playing and people talking. Now, picture, if you will, a cat park. I picture this big, vast, empty space. And there's people there, but they're, you know, they're standing maybe 25 feet apart. And they're all kind of looking off in the distance going, where the hell is my cat? So, I mean, I know people love their cats, and I probably already offended those people. But to me, dogs are just more, I don't know, social, more human than cats.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The reason I have cats is because my wife at the time and my daughter wanted cats. Now my daughter wants a dog, and of course she's...
How does the cat feel about that?
Well, you know, I haven't decided whether or not a dog is going to enter our life right at this stage of our lives, but probably it's going to happen sooner or later.
Well, if your daughter wants a cat, a dog, you may end up with a dog. That's how we ended up with Lucy.
Yes, that's a great story.
Heavy lobbying. I was unable to get my wife, Michelle, to agree that we needed a dog. She never had a dog, and she was convinced that dogs are dirty, and dogs track mud around, and dogs shed hairs, and dogs drink from the toilet, and dogs stick their nose in your private areas, all of which, of course, dogs do.
That's true.
They do all of those things, usually within seconds of your meeting them. So it's hard to explain to a person who's never had a dog, never lived with a dog, the upside of the dog. So I tried and failed, our daughter Sophie loves animals, always has loved animals, and animals seem to love her. She just was one of those people that, you know, that whatever animal would immediately run to her. And she really wanted a dog, but she's very sweet. She didn't ever nag. She would just like, oh, it'd be so nice to have a dog. So finally, Michelle broke down and agreed we would get a dog. Mm-hmm. And we decided to get a rescue dog, which I highly recommend. And we went to the internet. There's a local group called Paws for You. I live in Miami, and it's a local rescue organization, and they have pictures of the dogs that are available for adoption and descriptions. And most of the pictures were white or gray or light colored dogs that you could see clearly. A lot of them were cute puppies. And so we naturally thought, I ain't a puppy. But there was this one picture, and Lucy was at the time jet black. She's since, her face has gone white, but at the time she was jet black. And black dogs don't photograph particularly well, especially if amateurs are taking the pictures, and which is one reason it's hard to get them adopted. So you really didn't see a dog. You sort of saw a blob. Like, remember that picture of the black hole that came out recently? A little like that. And then two glowing red orbs, which were Lucy's eyes. But it looked like this demon blob. But so it was not an attractive picture at all. But the description was, she couldn't be sweeter if she tried. She never tries to take the other dog's food. So this is talking about how nice she is, this dog. And we kept pointing to the cute puppy saying, "Oh, Sophie, don't you want a puppy?" And Sophie kept coming back to the demon blob and saying, "It says she couldn't be nicer if she tried," because that's kind of Sophie's personality. So we made an appointment, and we went down to see what the dog who became our Lucy, and brought a friend of Sophie along. We wanted to make sure that the dog got along with kids, and it was like a scene from a movie where the boy and the girl run toward each other on the beach. It was like Lucy went charging at Sophie and her friend, and Sophie and her friend charged at Lucy. And next thing you know, they're rolling around on the ground. So and we had been like, well, now we're not going to make this decision right away. We're going to meet the dog for you. Of course, the decision was made in about a nanosecond, both by Sophie and by Lucy. So Lucy kind of adopted us instantly. And that's one thing people say about rescue dogs, and I believe it. They seem to know that you're rescuing them. You know, they're living in a crate for the most part, and they're so happy to be with somebody. So It was over the instant it started. That's how we got Lucy.
Dave Barry, our guest today, his latest book is called Lessons from Lucy, The Simple Joys of an Old Happy Dog. And it is, I mean, you know, before I read the book, I looked at the book jacket, and you've got a quote from Stephen, or there is a quote from Stephen King on it saying, an extremely funny book, and a couple of places I laughed until water ran from my eyes and a slightly thicker fluid came off from my nose. You know what? The same thing happened to me. Really, really funny in spots. But there's some lessons in there too.
Yeah, I don't really usually write self-help books. I mean, that's not what I'm known for. Usually when people finish a book I wrote, they go, "That didn't help me at all." Or, "I'm actually less intelligent now having read that." But in this case, there were some things that I thought were actually worth saying, and coming dangerously close to sincerity for me. But the idea was, I turned 70 last year, mm-hmm. and Lucy turned 10, because we got her when she was we don't know for sure, but around 6 months old. Anyway, so I turned 70, Lucy turned 10, which means in dog years she turned 70. So we both turned 70, which is sort of a monumental year. It was one of those years where you kind of look at your life and realize, you know, you don't have that much time left, and where are you going and what have you done? It's kind of a reflective time. And it occurred to me that Lucy was doing way better than I was. She was just happier, you know, and more together in her life than I was. Not that my life is bad. I have a wonderful life. But that certain things had changed, and, you know, you get older, you're not quite the same person you were. You may be a little crankier, a little less patient, some ways just not as happy maybe. And I started looking at what is it that Lucy does, or really what has she been doing since she was a puppy that she still does that I probably did do better when I was younger, that I don't do as well now. And that was the idea behind the book, which is, you know, what lessons can you learn from your dog? And I'm not saying dogs are smart. I would never argue that. I've made a career out of writing how dogs are really not particularly smart. But they are wise, is, I guess, my argument. They know what makes them happy, and they know what makes them unhappy. And they keep doing the things that make them happy all the way to the end, whereas I think people, especially older people, sort of forget those things or drift away from them.
Yeah, what is it about that? You know, I'm not getting any younger either. And
wait, you're not? Wait, so the same thing is happening. This like sounds like an epidemic of some kind.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. You know, there are, you know, one of your lessons was about making new friends and kind of keeping the ones you already have. And your circle of friends does kind of narrow a little bit in some ways, doesn't it, as you age?
Definitely. And I think this is, since I wrote this book, I keep hearing from men about this one particular lesson. It's the first lesson, and it's something dogs do really well. They make friends, at least Lucy does. I think most dogs. Lucy makes friends very easily. Anybody she meets, she loves that person right away, or dog. And she loves to be around people, loves to have friends. And I think this is something that when you're younger, that's very easy for you to make friends for most of us. We make a lot of friends then. But as you get older, and I think especially for guys, if you get older, it's not as easy for you to become friends. I mean, there are exceptions, obviously, but I think for a lot of men, you become a little more isolated, maybe a little crankier, like, I don't need any new friends. I don't even like the friends I have, you know? And I definitely realized that was true with me. That my wife is very social. My daughter's very social. They make friends easily, and they stay in touch with their friends. Both of them, especially my wife, will call people up, call her friends up, just to talk, and they can talk for a long time about lots of different things. You know, share their feelings or whatever. And again, this is kind of a generalization, men versus women, but I think it holds up pretty well. Men don't do that very well. It as you get older, I mean, think about it. It's hard for me to call another man because there has to be a very specific reason, you know, like I need his kidney or something.
Well, listen, we need to take a quick look at the news and the weather and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll come back and talk more about friends and some other of those lessons from Lucy, the simple joys of an old happy dog. Back with Dave Barry right after this quick look at the news. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about important life lessons that your pets can teach you, and in particular your dogs, if you have them. With our guest, Dave Barry, the author of many best-selling books. His latest book is called Lessons from Lucy, The Simple Joys of an Old Happy Dog. And there are lots of good lessons in this book, and there's also an awful lot of humor. It's really, I guarantee there's no way you could read this book without laughing at some points, even with tears in your eyes. So, having said that, Dave Barry with us. How has your pet shaped the way you live, by the way, as you listen to Dave talk? What have you learned about life from your pet? How has owning a dog helped you live a fuller and happier life? Hope you'll join in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And when we broke from the news, Dave, This whole business of your circle, for a guy, the circle of friends does diminish. And as you were saying, as a guy, I don't remember just picking up the phone to call another guy and just chat.
No, and women do that effortlessly. Again, I'm generalizing, but based on my wife, but I think it's true of a lot of women. They're very comfortable just talking. Without having a reason for it. And I think men kind of have to have a reason. That's why we talk about sports, I think, so much, because then we can have a specific topic we can discuss that doesn't involve how we feel or anything like that. But if I see a guy I haven't seen in a long time, we'll be caught up in 30 seconds. <you know? laughs> So we're we're both not dead. Anything else going on? You know, and that's difficult to overcome, but I think it's kind of important. And dogs help with that. Lucy helps with that. One of the ways I meet people that I never would, obviously, otherwise, as when you have a dog, you have to walk your dog. I mean, your dog has to go out. And in our neighborhood, a lot of people have dogs. Over the years, I've come to know most of these people. I mean, it's not like they've become my best friends, but they're people you say hi to and talk to that you wouldn't otherwise. And it's so easy to just get in your own little silo and stay connected only with the people you really know well.
And then having, you know, and fun, too, is another area that that you cover. Older people stop having fun.
Exactly. We start settling, I think, more and more for just being content, which isn't the same. It's not the same thing. It's like doing something that's actively fun, that's maybe even kind of stupid. The thing, kind of stuff you used to do when you were younger, you know, just because it was fun. Maybe it was ridiculous, but at some point you say, I don't know, I'm too old for that. I'm too tired for that, whatever. And this is, again, something dogs are good about. Lucy, when we got her, the game she loves to play is, we call it ball. And really all it means is one of her many toys, which are scattered around the house, she'll run and pick it up. Sometimes it's a ball. Sometimes it's, you know, it could be any random saliva-drenched wad of filth, to be honest.
But John McCain.
What?
John McCain.
We have a John McCain doll that I got for like when he ran for president in, was it 2000 and
whatever
12 I guess
12 yeah.
This company made dog chew toys of John McCain and Hillary Clinton, and I got them given to me when I was covering the convention. It brought them home, and Lucy just loves them. She'll run and get, you know, her John McCain doll or her Hillary Clinton doll, run around, you know, defying us to try to get it from her, which, of course, we don't want it. It's disgusting. But we pretend we want it because that's the game. She's not the kind of dog to bring you anything. She's not a fetch kind of dog. But she loved that when she was little. She loves that now. When I come home, she runs to meet me at the door and then runs off to get the ball, runs around the house with it, prancing and holding it aloft, daring me to try to take it from her. Simple things like that she enjoys. I find with my own self, again, it's sort of you get into this sort of, it's easier not to mood when you get older. So I made a conscious effort in my 70th year to like take stock of what I used to do more of that was really fun for me. One of those things was, I play in a rock band of authors.
Yeah.
Stephen King is in it, Amy Tan, Mitch Albom, Scott Turow, Roy Blunt Jr., Greg Iles, Ridley Pearson, bunch of authors, good authors. But we're a terrible band. we play what Roy Blunt Jr. Describes as hard listening music. That's our genre. But we get together every now and then, usually at literary festivals or sometimes for benefits. And it's just so much fun. We're terrible. As I say, we're not a good band, but we just love getting up on stage and making fools of ourselves. But we were doing it less and less as years went by. And I decided last year, as part of my project of writing this book, we're going to get together again. And so I organized a performance. We're going to play, and actually not too far from you, a couple weeks in Minneapolis, at a book festival there. So I don't know if that's good for the music world, but it's fun for us.
And your other other story you talked about was the Lawn Rangers.
Yeah, this is probably the stupidest single thing I've ever done in my life. But I'm doing it again. The Lawn Rangers are a group of guys in Arcola, Illinois, a little town in central Illinois. And Arcola is, as I'm sure everyone is aware, the broom corn capital of the world, because at one time, no longer, but at one time it grew. Its main crop was corn, the bristles of which were used to make brooms. Now that I think Mexico is where they grow them, although they still assemble brooms in Arcola. And every year they have this broom corn festival to try to get people to go to Arcola. And it's, you know, very classic kind of small town, festival, you can get, they have sweeping contests. But some years ago, a bunch of guys, one of the big, they have a parade, that's one of its, and a bunch of guys decided they were fed up with the Shriners dominating the parade. The Shriners, who have, they have their little motor cars, and they do their little precision maneuvers. So these guys decided they were going to form a group called the Lawn Rangers. And they push lawnmowers and hold brooms, because it's the Broomcorn Festival. And they perform precision lawnmower and broom maneuvers. And when I say precision, I mean not at all precise. Because, first of all, there's usually been – this happens after an orientation meeting. And the orientation meeting consists mostly of drinking, to be really honest. And so anyway, it's a really ridiculous thing. But it is so much fun. It's just, you know, stupid fun. And so after many years of absence from the Lawn Rangers, I'm gonna rejoin them this fall. Recruited some of my friends, my new friends or my old friends that I'm trying to stay in touch with to join me out there.
And Lucy, you know, makes friends with everybody and keeps them.
Yes, she does. She's the world's friendliest dog. She loves everybody immediately. I think any random person could come to our house and say, come on, Lucy, come with live with me now. And she would go. Because she likes people. She likes people a lot.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. You know, one of the chapters that struck a chord with me, and I was saying, this is me, quite a few times, when you were talking about letting go of anger. You know, and the examples you used were the exact examples that I've fumed about myself once in a while, especially the ice cream one.
Yeah. The idea, again, it's a lesson from my dog. It's not, and the lesson is let go of your anger if you can. And I'm bad at this. Lucy's good at it. She does get angry. Right now I'm sitting in my home office, and there's a window here that looks out on the driveway, and Lucy looks out that window a lot. And once a week, men come and take our garbage, and Lucy really doesn't like that. She just can't believe we just let them walk off with our garbage, and she barks and barks. But then as soon as they're out of sight, you know, it's over. It's not like she wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning and goes, I can't believe we let them take the garbage again. But I am not good with this. I get very irritated very easily, way too easily, by little things. You were talking about
the ice cream.
The example I give, if I'm at an ice cream place and there's a line, I'm in the line, and let's say there's 10 people in the line, and I'm the 10th person, and I want some ice cream, and you're the front of the line. And it's one of those places where they give you little sample spoons if you want, so you can make the choice of which ice cream you want, make this critical decision. I'm okay if you taste one sample, unless it's vanilla. You don't need to taste. We already know what that tastes like. I'm even okay if you take a couple, even though there's a line behind you. Okay. But if you're one of those people that starts sampling, let me try that one. Let me try the first one again. Oh, and then you're talking to your friends who are also there sampling, sharing. Then I want to kill you. And it happens pretty quick. My wife points this out to me a lot. I'm just very quick to get furious. But it's stupid. And I know it's stupid. I really have to fight. Okay, there's Lucy.
The garbage guy coming?
No, it's nothing. It's the pool guy.
Oh, the pool guy.
But she likes him. She just didn't realize. She thought he might be coming for our garbage. But anyway, I couldn't get Ernest and Zippy to bark for you, but Lucy did it all by herself. But, you know, it's just I need to, and I'm really trying to get better at this. I make a conscious effort. For the last few weeks, I was on a book tour flying all around the country, so I was on planes almost every day. And I'd be in the plane and, you know, trying to get to my seat, and I'd hear the flight attendant say over and over and over, when you get to your row, please step in so the people behind you can get past. I must have heard that. Like, is this so hard to understand? You know, but I'm trying to be more zen about that. Because in the end, you will get to your seat. You will get your ice cream. Life will go on. Yes, there are rude people and there are stupid people, but you can't do anything about that, really. They're going to be that way. Why let it ruin your day? Why let them ruin your life? So, again, something you can learn from a dog.
Dave Barry, our guest. Give a call if you have a question or comment for him at 1-800-642-1234. I get talking and I forget to give that number. Well, your comments about ice cream were struck home because I have an ice cream place that's near my home. And this is really irritating to watch somebody try 5 or 6 different ones. But I have tried to say, you know what, it's not going to be that long.
No.
You know, it's not like it's going to be hours.
But rudeness can be infuriating. That's why driving is so hard, especially if you drive in. I live in Miami, and my theory about Miami driving is everybody here is driving according to the law of his or her individual country of origin. And so we have many different interpretations of, for example, what a stop sign might mean here in Miami. And you can go insane, just insane, if you let yourself. You just have to learn to take a deep breath, take a lesson from your dog, calm down. That's why dogs don't drive, by the way. I think that's one of the smartest things about them.
You know, another area that struck with me, and I thought about this a lot after reading that chapter, was just paying attention to the people that you care about and not getting so hung up on the cell phone or whatever.
Yeah, it's a thing that they call mindfulness. It's a kind of a craze, but I think it's a valuable one, which basically is about being in the moment you're in, not always thinking about what you could have done before, which you can't do anything about now, or always thinking about what's going to happen next when it hasn't happened yet, but actually focusing on where you are, what you're doing, who you're with especially. And dogs are, this is the thing they do better than any other animal. If you're in a room with a dog, that dog is with you. Dog is listening to you, smelling you, watching you. If you move, the dog is aware of it. If you want to, you know, just say the dog's name, dog will immediately look up, come over to you. And we're not like that. People are not like that with each other. How many times have you been in a restaurant and you see a couple sitting at a table together facing each other, maybe 3 feet apart, and they're both looking at their phones? You're like, why are you in a restaurant? Why not just stay home and eat a pizza in your bedroom alone? Because you're not really having any kind of social interaction. But again, your phone is an enemy of mindfulness. Mine certainly. You're so tempted anytime there's 1 second to look at your phone again, even though you looked at it 10 seconds ago. And why is that? Why do we do that? Why is that so important to us and not the people we're with? And this is one of those things that you really learn as you get older and people you know die, people, your peers, and you go to funerals. And you know, when you walk out of the funeral, you're thinking, I did not spend enough time with that person. If it was somebody you cared about, somebody you loved, I didn't spend enough time. I didn't talk to that person. I wasn't with that person as much as I could have been, and now I never can be. Then you say, I'm not going to be like that anymore. I'm going to pay more. And then your phone beeps, and you're back to your phone. It's so easy to slip away. And it's, again, something dogs never slip on, of course. They can't drive. They also can't look at phones, but it works to their advantage.
Claire in Baraboo, let's hear from you. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thank you. And boy, what a thrill to talk to the Dave Barry.
Well, think how I feel, Claire in Baraboo.
I'm an old fan. I love your humor, Dave.
Oh, thank you.
I have a story about traveling with dogs to share.
Okay.
I had to go to Georgia for a family funeral, and I had enough time that rather than flying, which I hate to do anyway, I decided to drive down there, and rather than board my 2 little dogs, I took them with me. And it was a wonderful trip for so many reasons because of my dogs. As you mentioned earlier, Dave, when you have a dog, you meet other dog people.
Uh-huh.
It's just the way the world works.
Uh-huh.
So when I was down there, I was taking my dogs to the area dog parks and meeting all these other dog peoples. I actually formed friendships because I was down there long enough that I'd see these same dog people every day at the dog park, and my dogs loved it because they got to meet all these new friends, and it was just great. And my dogs are good in the car, which helps. And because I'm a woman, I felt safer driving alone all the way to Georgia because I had my dogs with me.
Yeah. Yeah, you're never alone. You're never alone with your when you have a dog with you. You've got company, but also, as you say, you'll meet more people. You'll meet new people. You don't need to come up with an excuse to meet. You have your dog. Your dog is the reason for the meeting, and it makes life just more social.
Yeah, and they were great emotional support for me because I was down there for a funeral.
Yeah,
dogs are great.
Yeah, thank you very much, Claire. Appreciate your call. Well, they're obviously I need to get a dog. because they're among all the other things we've talked about so far, one of the areas that you talked about that I found was interested was don't let happiness depend on things that don't make you truly happy.
Yeah, dogs have very few possessions. well, Lucy has her balls, but that's kind of it. You know, as a rule, dogs have nothing except, you. And we, of course, and I'm very guilty of this, tend to acquire things and more things, and we think the things will make us happy. And this is not new knowledge, but things don't make you happy. In the end, they just, they can be enjoyable in their own limited way. But you don't get real happiness from stuff. In fact, what you end up with is way too much stuff. And I talk about this in light of when we went through the hurricanes last year down here, Irma specifically. When we get hurricanes in Florida, the main problem for us is we lose our power. And when we lose our power, we lose our internet. When we lose our internet, we lose our phones, we lose our computers, we lose all this stuff. And suddenly you're left with nothing, and you realize how dependent you are on gadgets to make yourself happy. And again, it's something dogs, without any effort whatsoever, have figured out they don't need any of that stuff. That's not what makes them happy. They need food and they need us. That's pretty much what they need, and that makes them happy. It's a much easier, better way to live if you can pare your life down.
And I liked your last chapter here. We're running out of time a little bit, but a lot of those lessons come to the fore here when you're talking about Sophie and her.
Yeah, the book, the last chapter in the book wasn't supposed to be there. It was supposed to be seven lessons, and I finished the book last year and was going to go on book tour for it in October. And then in August, when my daughter, Sophie, who was 18, was getting ready to start her freshman year in college, she had a severe medical condition that we didn't know she would ever recover from. And we were basically, my wife and I stopped everything. We just dropped the rest of our lives. And as far as we knew, we were never going to get back to our lives. That's how bad it was. Fortunately, Sophie recovered and is now at college. But we didn't, for quite a while, we did not know that was going to happen. And what I got from that was one last lesson, which is that. And it's a strange lesson to say after something horrible has happened in your life like that, but which was gratitude, to be grateful for what you have. Because when you lose the most important thing you have, and we lost our daughter's health. We were terrified that she was never going to be the same. You realize that none of the other things you thought were important are important. Money, house,
things.
Nothing mattered at all. Career, nothing except that one thing you wanted back. And when you get it back, we did. We were lucky. You realize the other stuff isn't that important, but that to be grateful for the really important things in your life. And like I said in the book, if you wake up in the morning and you can walk around and you're healthy, and your kids are, then you should be happy. You've got a pretty good life.
Dave Barry, thank you so much for being with us today. I really enjoyed your book a lot. Thank you,
well,
Dave.
Thanks, Larry, and get a dog.
Well, Dave Barry, his latest book is Lessons from Lucy, The Simple Joys of an Old Happy Dog. It is a great book, and I really appreciate him being with us today. And I appreciate you. Thank you for listening. Stay with us.